This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Ruchem Abayim B'Shem Hashem B'Shem Irgun Shir Torah Moses Boston. I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's shir. Rav Daniel Gladstein Shlita. I'd like to give a shakach to Mr. and Mrs. Alti Freilich for sponsoring tonight's shir. I'd like to give a shakach to Rav Lezer Steinmetz, the Weiss Paint, for sponsoring tonight's shir. I'd like to give a shakach to Rav Chaim Kaufman for sponsoring tonight's shir. Lili Nishmas Imoy Malka, Bas Rav Chaim Yehuda, Lashom, Zeretzayr, Sinai, Beis Ov, Tenish Moses, Tzur, Rav Tzara Chaim. The boy says just a couple of short weeks, till Irgun Shir Torah's annual dinner. Irgun Shir Torah relies on this dinner to support our Habotzas Torah programs worldwide throughout the year. It's a great opportunity to show you our Karas HaTov, to Irgun Shir Torah, and to the Rabbonim and Magidei Shir, whose shirim you enjoy are putting an ad in the journal and donating towards the Achzokas HaTorah and Abbas HaTorah of Irgun Shir Torah. Call 718-851-8651 or email ist@yeshivanet.com. Tonight we have the covered Havodas of Daniel Gladstein, Shlita Rav Kilas Tveras Mordechai Cedarhurst, to speak on October 7th and Tisha B'Av, and it's my covered to call Rabbi Gladstein for tonight's Russia.
Today was Rosh Chodesh Av, and I want to Bershus Rabbi Bold, Rabbi Deutsch, Irgun Shiuri Torah. It's a great kavod to be here this evening. The first day of Chodesh Av, the first of the 9 days, 9 days before Tisha B'Av, but this year we had a little bit of an early Tisha B'Av. This year, on the happiest day of the year, this year on Yom Simchaseinu, this year on the day that the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin, was more joyous on Simchas Torah than any other day, the Goyin held the pinnacle of Simcha, the summit of Simcha, Shmini Atzeres. More than 1,000 Jews kidnapped, violated, accosted, assaulted. This year we commemorated Tisha B'Av on Simchas Torah. Dvarim gedolim einam b'mikra, great things are never coincidental. Where we had one of the greatest tragedies to occur to our people since the time of the Holocaust. But think about the day that it happened. It happened on Zman Simchaseinu. It happened on Simchas Torah. After 7 days of Sukkot. Sukkot is Man Simchaseinu, and yet Shmini Atzeres is just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The day we finish the Torah, the day of Simchas HaTorah. For something like this to happen, to have a Tisha B'Av on Simchas Torah, and that phrase, that expression, Tisha B'Av on Simchas Torah, is a very frightening thought. Because actually there's a very profound connection between Tisha B'Av and Simchas Torah. Amazingly, the Blujava Rebbe compares the first 9 days, the 9 days of Sukkot, 7 days and then Shmini Atzeres and then Simchas Torah, to the 9 days beginning with Rosh Chodesh Av, culminating with Tisha B'Av. Say, how could there be a connection between those 9 days, the 9 days of Simcha and the 9 days of Avelos? Actually, I just came back from a trip. I was in Yavan. I was in Greece. I was in Athens. That's why I'm still jet-lagged. For you, it's Laila. For me, it's Yoim, you know? But the Gemara in Bechoros on Daf Ches tells us a question, the Chachmei Atuna, the sages of Athens, presented to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. They showed him two white eggs, and they said, please tell me, which egg came from a black chicken and which came from a white chicken? You know, when you go to the store, I don't know where you shop here, ShopSmart or better grocery stores near you, you'll tell him that I gave him a commercial. You can't tell which egg came from what kind of chicken. But the question that the Chachmei Atuna asked Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya was, please tell me, which egg came from the black hen and which came from the... And the Marsha explains, what exactly is the Shaila? Which chicken did the egg come from? And the Marsha says, there are two 21-day periods in our calendar that are polar opposites, that are antithetical to each other. You have 21 days starting Rosh Hashanah, ending with Hoshana Rabbah, and you have 21 days starting with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, ending in Tisha B'Av. You have 21 days of Yimei Rachamim V'Ratzoin. You have 21 days of Peronios. They seem to be polar opposites. They seem to be antithetical to each other. 21 days of punishment, 21 days of Rachamim, but the Marsha says at its core, they're all the same. They're to be mechaper avoynoisov shel Yisrael. Likewise, if you narrow down these two 21-day periods, it's really 9 days and 9 days. 9 days from the beginning of Sukkot until Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, and 9 days starting today, ending on Tisha B'Av. In fact, the Blujava Rebbe has his drashos on Sukkot in the context of Tisha B'Av, as if there's a comparison between the 9 days of the Bein HaMetzarim and the 9 days of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. It's very interesting. You know, we know that on Sukkot there ushpizen. You have guests come to your sukkah. So you have Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Does anybody visit you on Shmini Atzeres? Who's the guest on Shmini Atzeres? So many Sfarim write, the guest of Shmini Atzeres. What haftorah do we read about on Shmini Atzeres? The bracha of Shloime HaMelech. Shloime HaMelech. He's the ushpiz. He's the guest of Shmini Atzeres, of Simchas Torah. He comes and he visits us. That's interesting. And whose day is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av. Yirmiyah HaNavi. So Yirmiyah was born on Tisha B'Av. Yirmiyah cursed the day of his birth. So Yirmiyah's day is Tisha B'Av, and Shloime HaMelech's day is Simchas Torah. What's the connection between Shloime and Yirmiyah HaNavi? Well, it's well known they're the same person. You say, what? How are they the same person? Yeah. Yirmiyah HaNavi was the Gilgal of Shloime HaMelech. Ad kidei kach, that the Chidah writes in his commentary to Yirmiyah, that if you look in Yirmiyah, I believe Perek Lamed Ches, Nebuchadnezzar sends word, keep your eye on Yirmiyah. Watch out for Yirmiyah. Guard Yirmiyah. Protect Yirmiyah. Why is Nebuchadnezzar so concerned for Yirmiyah HaNavi? Says the Chidah, very simply. Chazal say Shloime HaMelech married the princess of Egypt. From that union produced none other than Nebuchadnezzar. Did you know Nebuchadnezzar is a descendant of Shloime HaMelech? Did you know? You heard it here first. Ergun Shiurei Torah, Monday night, Rosh Chodesh Av. Nebuchadnezzar was a descendant of none other than Shloime HaMelech. You got the scoop right here. In that case, says the Chidah, yeah. Rabbi Deutsch is like, where did we come from? Look in the Chidah, Choymas Anoch, on Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Ches, Nebuchadnezzar was a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, if Nebuchadnezzar was a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech, and Yirmiyah was the Gilgal of Shlomo, so Yirmiyah is the father of Nebuchadnezzar, somehow, right? If Shlomo produced Nebuchadnezzar, and Yirmiyah is the Gilgal of Shlomo, so in some sense, Yirmiyah is like, you know, mystically, the father of Nebuchadnezzar. Says the Chidah, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know this. But that's why Mazlei Chazei, that's why he's so concerned for the welfare of Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells people, that's why Nebuchadnezzar is concerned for the welfare of Yirmiyah HaNavi. So you have these two polar opposite days. You have Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. You have Simchas Torah, the 9th of Zman Simchasenu. Simchas Torah is the day of Shlomo HaMelech. Tisha B'Av is the day of Yirmiyah HaNavi. In fact, says Hagoyin Rav Moshe Wolfson, Eicha Yashva Vadad Hayir Rabasi Am Gematria Atzeres Tia Lachem. Again, showing the commonality between Tisha B'Av and Simchas Torah. But this year we had an early Tisha B'Av. This year we commemorated Tisha B'Av on Simchas Torah. And we have this very eerie tune that we use for Megillas Eicha. As soon as you hear it, it's a haunting melody. It's a haunting tune. Eicha ha yashva vadad ha-yihir. As soon as you hear the tune, you're put in the mood of Tisha B'Av. You feel the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But mysteriously, there's another time of the year that we use almost the identical tune. And it's actually bizarre that we use this tune on this day. Bavur David Avdecha Ki Mitzion Teitze Soira Koyanecha Yubishu Tzedek. Now, it's a little bit different because it really goes, it's not Atahares, it's Atahares Soladas. Yeah, but the middle part of the tune is straight out of Eicha. Why are we using the tune of Eicha on the happiest day of the year? Isn't that odd? But again, we see there's a commonality between Simchas Torah and Tisha B'Av. And even though Tisha B'Av is the saddest day of the year, nevertheless, there's a certain kernel, there's a certain flourishing, there's a certain seed of redemption on Tisha B'Av itself. Because if you look in Parshas Pinchas, in the Parsha of the Moyadim, you'll see all the Moyadim, one after another. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. And in between the Yomim Tovim and the Sefer Torah, you have what is called the Samach. It's a Parsha Sesuma with a very little opening between one subject and the next. Between Pesach and Shavuos, Samach. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Samach. Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Samach. It's sealed shut. There's nothing that you could put in between Pesach and Shavuos. There's nothing you could put in between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But lo and behold, between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, you gotta pay. You have a parsha psucha. There's an opening in the Sefer Torah. What's that opening doing there? Why is there an opening in the Sefer Torah between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah? Is something going to be placed? Is a Yom Tov going to be added between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah? Indeed, says the Rishonim, a Yom Tov is going to be placed between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. And that is Kara Olai Moed. That is the future Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av. So this year, on the happiest day of the year, we commemorated the greatest tragedy. We hope that this year, on the saddest day of the year, if the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Tisha B'Av on Simchas Torah this year, we are mispalel, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this year on Tisha B'Av, give us a Simchas Torah, give us a Yom Tov. And that's what I would like to speak about this evening. As this time of the year comes, and we're all being mitzapel Yeshua, we're awaiting the coming of the redemption. That's why the Bnei Yisoschar writes, we start off the Bein HaMetzarim with Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is the Parsha of the Moyadim. Because this time of the year ultimately will be transformed into a Yom Tov. Actually, you know, there's a concept called Davar Yafe Be'itai. That every Parsha that we read is always connected to the Zman HaShana. So for example, what did we learn this Shabbos? Parshas Matos. We learned about Hafaras Nadarim. Yeah, Hafaras Nadarim. Why are we reading about Hafaras Nadarim? It's the Bein HaMetzarim. It's the time of the Churban. It's the time of the Avelos. But could we suggest, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, on Daf Ayin Dalet, the Gemara tells us that Rabba Barbar Chana said that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, unfortunately, I swore that I have to send Klal Yisrael into the Golos. Umi Mayfairly, who will annul my vow? Who's going to cancel my vow? So we start off the 3 weeks, we start off the Bein HaMetzarim by reading the Parsha of Hafaras Nadarim, indicating Ribbono Shel Olam, we could be Mayfair your neder, we could annul it, we could nullify it. If you made a neder, we'll be Matar your neder. All the Parshias that we read this time of the year is to put us in the proper frame of mind for the Zman of the Bein HaMetzarim. You know, there's a story in the beginning of the Chumash, in Parshas Vayera. Everybody knows the story. It's the classic story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, he's 99 years old. Sarah, she's 89 years old. They don't have children. Sarah Yemenu is not just an Akara, she's an islandess. She has no uterus. Avram Avinu, he's Toichein Ve'enoi Poilet. Completely infertile. And Avram Avinu is on the third day of his Mila. And the angels come and they say, "Hey Abraham, did you hear the news? This time next year, you're going to be a father." Avram Avinu says, "Wow." Avram Avinu is ecstatic. Really, friends, the story should end right there. But the Torah reports something which seemingly is completely unnecessary. The Torah reports the reaction of Sarah Imenu. What's the reaction of Sarah? Vatitzchak Sarah Bekerbay. She laughed. You know what I call that? Too much information. Why do I need to know that Sarah laughed? Of what relevance is that this lady did not believe the report of the Malach? Why does the Torah tell this to us? Now, the Torah doesn't just say that Sarah laughed. The Torah says that the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Abraham and he says, "Why'd she laugh? Lama zet tzachaka Sarah lemar ha'afamnam." Now, I have a question. If I would have gone to Abraham and I would have said, "Abraham, why'd she laugh? What would you call that?" What would the Chafetz Chaim call that? Rechilos. It's Rechilos. That is classic Rechilos. Ribbono Shel Olam is reporting to Abraham something that she laughed, that he's too old. Why is Ribbono Shel Olam doing that? And why does the Torah tell us that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Abraham and asked Abraham, "Why'd she laugh?" And the Torah is not finished. So Abraham goes to Sarah and say, "Hey, Sarah, why'd you laugh?" Now, how would Avram have known that Sarah laughed? Must be the Ribbono Shel Olam told him that she laughed. So what's Avraham Avinu doing now? Also, Nachama Rechilos. And the Torah doesn't stop. And the Torah says, you know what Sarah says to Avraham? "I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you always asking me why I'm laughing? I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. What are you saying? I didn't laugh." And then the Torah says more. Avram says, "No, loy, ki tzachakt. You laughed." We need this in the Chumash? What's this doing here? Why do I need to know Sarah laughed? Why does Hashem ask Abraham why she laughed? Why did Abraham confront Sarah? And why did Sarah deny it? By the way, the Netziv says the words, "No, you laughed," were not the words of Abraham to Sarah. They're the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Sarah. You know, Rashi says that Sarah was tafel to Abraham Benevius. So the question is, really? Sarah was secondary to Avraham Avrius? Could anybody think of one time, one prophecy that Sarah ever had? It says in the Tziv, Sarah only heard two words of prophecy in her life. You know what they were? After Sarah denied laughing, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes down and said, "No, you laughed! Ki tzachakt, you laughed!" These were not Avraham's words. The Netziv says these were the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Sarah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, "I've been thinking about this story my whole life, and I can never understand what in the world is this story doing in the Chumash. It's a kavod for Sarah to know she laughed. It's a kavod for the Ribbono Shel Olam to have to ask Avraham why'd she laugh. What's this whole thing doing here?" Says the Chafetz Chaim, "I finally realize that the story of Sarah laughing is the story of the Jewish people in the Galus. Because the day will come when we hear the good news that the Geula is here and the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask us, 'Were you ready? Are you ready? Are you in a state of tshuva? Have you prepared for this? Were you living, looking forward to this day?'" And we're going to say, "Yeah, of course, we were anticipating the coming of Mashiach." And Ribbono Shel Olam said, "No, why'd you laugh?" And we're going to say, "Well, me? I didn't laugh. I believed in Mashiach." Ribbono Shel Olam said, "You're lying. You weren't waiting for Mashiach. You were looking at the news all day. You were scrolling down to watch the same news on the same on one platform after another that never even happened, that somebody made up, and then somebody copied and put it somewhere else. And then they rescinded, and then they have to apologize for rescinding it, and then they realize that it was Sheker v'chaz of Me'ikara. You weren't waiting for Mashiach. You were going about your regular life. You had no inkling of realistic anticipation of the coming of Mashiach. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the story of Sarah laughing is the story of the Jewish people in the end of days. When Mashiach is going to come, the Ribam Shalom is going to ask, why didn't you believe it? And we say, what, me? I didn't laugh. And the Ribam Shalom is going to say, you laughed. So it's our job to make sure that when that great day comes, the Ribam Shalom can't ask us, why do you laugh? We're going to say, who was laughing? We were waiting for this day. We were ready. We were anticipating it. We were Mitzap El Yeshua. We all know that La'achar Me'av Esrim Shana, one of the six main questions that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask us is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you anticipate the coming of Mashiach? So that you think about that. If this is one of the six big questions that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask us, that means this is more than a mitzvah. This is not talis. This is not tefillin. This is not limud haTorah even. It transcends any one mitzvah. So the question we have to ask ourselves is that if this is one of the six main questions the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask us, when do we actually fulfill this great value of being Mitzap El Yeshua? When do we do this? You know, tefillin we know. We get up in the morning, we put on tefillin. We daven, we put on talis. A few days a year, we shake a lulav and esrog. Other times a year, we eat matzah. But now we have this great value that one of the most important questions we're going to have to answer one day is Tzipisa LeYeshua, did you wait the coming of Mashiach? When exactly are you supposed to do it? So I want to share with you four basic junctures that we're supposed to utilize to be mekayim, this important inyan of being Mitzap El Yeshua. Number one, in Shemoneh Esrei. Now I have something for you, I have a present for you, because I like you so much, because you're in Flatbush, and I grew up a few blocks away from here on Avenue M and East 31st, so you're in my hometown, so I got for you special bookmarks. On these bookmarks, it says the 14 times in davening, you could be Mitzap El Yeshua. Okay? It's right here. You'll have to wait until the end of the shir, so this way nobody's going anywhere. You have to wait out the whole shir to get your bookmarks. But just in Shemoneh Esrei alone, there are at least six places to be Mitzap El Yeshua. You have in Re'eva Anyenu, Baruch Atah Hashem Goyal Yisrael. You have in Tekah B'Shofar Gadol. You have in V'Yushalayim Ircha. You have in Es Tzemach David. You have V'Sechazen Reinenu. And then you have Yehi Ratzon Ufanecha, She'yibana Beis HaMikdash M'her V'Yameinu. But I want to focus on two brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei. The bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha Brachim Im Tashuv, and the bracha of Es Tzemach David. Does anybody know what's the difference between the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha and the bracha of Es Tzemach David? It's the same thing. In Yerushalayim Ircha we say, V'chisei David Avdecha Mehera L'Soicha Tachin, and then we say, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. What exactly is the difference between the theme of Yerushalayim and the theme as at Tzemach David? So simply put, the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha is a bracha for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, and the bracha of Tzemach David is a request for the return of the Malchus Beis David. These are two distinct concepts. One is the building of Yerushalayim, and one is the coming, the return of the Malchus Beis David. So the Brisker Rav asks, why do we mention the Malchus Beis David in the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha? Says the Brisker Rav, because Yerushalayim does not have the full status of Yerushalayim without the Malchus Beis David. So the bracha of Yerushalayim is for Yerushalayim. We need Malchus Beis David to make Yerushalayim have its full status. And then Es Tzemach David is for the restoration of the Malchus Beis David. But the Arizal writes a little bit differently than the Brisker Rav. The Arizal says that in Yerushalayim, we're not really talking about the Malchus Beis David. We're asking for V'chisei David Avdecha Mehera L'Seicha Tachen. We're talking about the throne of David. What exactly is the throne of David? The Arizal says, Mashiach ben Yosef. When you say the Baruch Yerushalayim Ircha, you're davening for the safe arrival of Mashiach ben Yosef. Es Tzemach David Avdecha, you're davening for Mashiach ben David. The primary time in life to be Mitzapa Yeshua is in the bracha of Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. These are the most important moments of your life. Okay? You put on tefillin today, you wore a talis, you learned something. But there's a mitzvah that's an overarching mitzvah. It's one of the six most important jobs in this world, to be mitzapel Yeshua. The primary juncture to be mekayim tzipisel Yeshua is in the bracha of Estemach David Avdecha. So what you want to do is you want to create an alert. I don't know, put something in your siddur, put your keys in your siddur, put your watch upside down. I don't know, do whatever you need to do. Then when you get up to the bracha Estemach David, you pause for a moment or two, and you try to engender some type of tzipisa liyeshua. This is the designated primary time to mekayim tzipisa liyeshua. You wouldn't let a day go by without wearing tefillin. You wouldn't let a day going by without learning Torah. You can't let a day of your life go by without pausing for a few moments when you say the bracha of a semach David to utilize the opportunity to be mitzapa Yeshua. That's the most important time. This way, at least, when the day is over, you know, three times, I wasn't laughing. I didn't laugh. I took it seriously. I'd utilize the opportunity to be mitzapa Yeshua. Okay, next juncture. Kabbalah Shabbos. I mentioned I was just in Greece. Now, when you think about Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, everybody thinks of Tzfas. Many are not aware that almost all the Chachmei Tzfas began in Salonika, including Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz wrote Kabbalah Shabbos more than 400 years ago. And this is a piyut that is sung B'chol Tfutzos Yisrael. This is how we're Mekabel Shabbos. However, upon further analysis, if you study the words of Kabbalah Shabbos, you'll notice that the majority of Lecha Doidi has absolutely nothing to do with Shabbos whatsoever. Yeah, the first three stanzas, the ones that you're awake for, are connected to Shabbos, are about Shabbos. Lecha Doidi Lekras Kavnei Shabbos Nekavla, Shamar V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad, Lekras Shabbos L'Chuvan Elcha. But then, right when you start nodding a little bit, if you keep yourself up, you'll notice the subject matter changes and it is not about Shabbos at all. Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. That's about the Beis HaMikdash. Kumi Tzi'i Mitoich HaFecha. Hisnari Me'ofer Kumi. Al Yad Ben Yishai. It's about the restoration of the Malchus Beis David. Uri Uri Shir Daberi. What is that about? Who said the words Uri Uri? What do the words Uri Uri mean? I know it's in a foreign language. Uri Uri. You know what? It's in Lashon HaKodesh. It's a foreign language. What does Uri mean? It means wake up. Now you understand why it says wake up at that point. Wake up! Wake up! Who said those words? Devorah. When did Devorah say those words? When she wanted to prophesy. Uri Uri is a prayer, it's a tefillah, that Hashem should restore Nevuah to Klal Yisrael. Then we talk about the expansion of Yerushalayim. You know, you might want to send a bulletin to some of our friends bordering Eretz Yisrael that Yerushalayim is destined to expand all the way to Damascus. Osid Yerushalayim lehisrachev adamesek. What does this have to do with Shabbos? This is the Kabbalah Shabbos. the vast majority of the subject matter of Lecha Doidi is about the Beis HaMikdash, Nevuah, restoration of Malchus Beis David, expansion of Yerushalayim. Ah! And then we come back to Shabbos. Boi v'shaloi materes bala. And we're makabel the Shabbos. Why is the main subject matter of Kabbalah Shabbos all of these unusual topics? So we come to something very important. Does anybody know? Little trivia question. What day of the week was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Okay, we have 8 possibilities. Say what? Yeah, you have Sunday. You have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Matzoi Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechta Tainis on Daf Lamed, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed Matzoi Shabbos. Berishain, v'gam b'shnia. Both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were both destroyed on Matzoi Shabbos. Haloi davarhu. You think it's a coincidence, says the Maral, Dvarim gedoilim einam b'mikra. Great things are never happenstance. Do you know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Matzah Shabbos? Because there is no other juncture of time that the Beis HaMikdash could possibly be destroyed. You see, says the Maral, there's a very important idea. It's called Ashan, Oilam Shana Nefesh, which means time and place converge. That means there are times that are synonymous with places. There are certain times that correspond to certain places, and certain places that correspond to certain times. What Shabbos is in time, the Beis HaMikdash is in place. The Beis HaMikdash is the Shabbos of the world. Shabbos is the Beis HaMikdash of the week. These are two concepts that converge. What Shabbos is to Zman, the Beis HaMikdash is to Makayim. Shabbos is the Beis HaMikdash of time. The Beis HaMikdash is Shabbos of Makayim. Therefore, there's only one time a week it is possible for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Because so long as you're headed toward Shabbos, so long as you're going toward Shabbos, the Beis HaMikdash could not possibly be destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash can only be destroyed when you're moving away from Shabbos, because the Mikdash is synonymous with Shabbos. Here's the problem. Sunday is Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. Monday is Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Tuesday is Hayom Yom Shlishi. Even Friday. There's only one juncture of time. There's only one window of time that you're not headed toward Shabbos. You're moving away from Shabbos. And that is Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos is the only window of time that you're moving away from Shabbos. It's the only possible Zman that could allow for Churban Beis HaMikdash. Says Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shapiro, conversely, if the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is only possible when you're moving away from Shabbos, then what time of the week is most predisposed to yearning for and awaiting the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? If the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is only possible when you're moving away from Shabbos, then the most suitable predisposed time designated to await for the coming of Mashiach is Kabbalah Shabbos. Therefore, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, who was a great Baal Machshava, and I am not aware that he ever used this phraseology, he says, Halacha Lemaisa. If you wanted to know the great ideal of being Mitzape LeYeshua, if you wanted to know when in my lifetime am I supposed to be focused on yearning and awaiting the coming of Mashiach, Kabbalah Shabbos. The purpose of Kabbalah's Shabbos is to mekayim the great ideal of Tzipisa LeYeshua. La'achar me'a ve'esrim shana. When they ask you the question, Rabbi Yid, were you mitzapel LeYeshua? And you say, yeah. And then you say, no, you laughed. Why'd you laugh? I didn't laugh. Let's go. Let's look at my Kabbalah Shabbos. I wasn't laughing. I took it seriously. When you say Mikdash Melech, it's a tefillah for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring it up from the ash heap. Mikdash Melech, sanctuary of the king, Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi'i Mitoicha Hafecha. But many things were lost when the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. We lost many goodies. We lost many spiritual treats. The Malchus Beis David was lost. The last of the Malchus Beis David was Tzidkiyah HaMelech, and they blinded his eyes. And the Medrash writes frightening things. The Medrash says, Tzidkiyah HaMelech should have taken his head and banged it against the wall and killed himself. And not to have allowed Nebuchadnezzar to put the Malchus Beis David to such a low place. Tzidkiyah should not have allowed Nebuchadnezzar to abuse the Malchus Beis David. The Malchus Beis David was lost with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, we don't just daven for Hashem to restore and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but we daven Al Yad Ben Yishai, Ribbono Shel Olam, with the Mikdash, we would like you to restore the Malchus Beis David. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash Nitla Nevua Min HaNeviim. Prophecy was taken away. So we continue. We say, Uri, Uri, Sher Daberi. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we want the Mikdash back. We want the Malchus Beis David back. We would like the institution of prophecy back. Yerushalayim sits ashamed, forlorn. We say, Loisei Vaishi, Veloisei call me. We ask Ribbono Shel Olam to restore the honor of Yerushalayim, to expand Yerushalayim, Yamin Usmoil Tifroitzi, Adam Esek. Halacha lemaisa. If the juncture of Estzemach David is not working out, if it's hard to have kavana by this bracha, then all the more so to put an extra effort into taking advantage of the great designated time of Kabbalah Shabbos to be mitzapeh liYeshua. Third juncture. Simple question. One of the six big questions we're going to be asked, Achameyev Esrim Shana, did you wait the coming of Mashiach? You would expect then, if this is such an important question, it should at least be a mitzvah in the Torah to await the coming of Mashiach. I mean, if it's one of the six major questions we're asked, you would expect there should be at least one pasuk in the Chumash that says you need to be mitzapel Yeshua. Where in the Chumash does it say, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, tell the Jewish people to await the coming of Mashiach? Where's the mitzvah? Where is it? You know the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, Mi she'enoi mamin bai, oi mi she'enoi mechake lebiyasai, loi b'shar neviyim b'vad hu koifer, Elahu Koifer B'Toiras Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that if someone doesn't believe in Mashiach or doesn't actively await the coming of Mashiach, they are a heretic, not only in the words of the Nevi'im, but the words of the Chumash itself. Which pasuk? Which parsha? Where does it say? V'ishtet. Comes the smack. Sefer Mitzvot Katan. The smack says, the obligation to await the coming of Mashiach is the very first mitzvah in the Torah. Which mitzvah? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Part of believing and remembering Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is anticipating the coming of the Gula. Just like Hashem took us out of Egypt, He's also going to take us out of Flatbush and Borough Park and Lakewood. These are all Golosim, you know that. None of these places are Geula. They're all a dark Golos. Just like the Almighty took us out of Egypt, He's going to take us out of New York. That is the mitzvah of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's the smack. So it occurred to me, according to this idea, it would come out really a wondrous opportunity You know, we say in the davening, Ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom, that we await the coming of Mashiach every single day, all day, all day, all day. Es Semach David is all day. Kabbal Shabbos is once a week. What's all day? But you remember the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo? The most well-known, iconic words of the Ramban. The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to demonstrate in every single generation that He created the world and that He controls the world. He's not going to demonstrate that He speaks to mankind. So Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us never to forget the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to tie it around your arm. And I want you to make sure every door that you walk through, I want you to remember that I took you out of Mitzrayim. And in case you might forget, tie it to your garments. And if you still forget, every seventh day, take a cup of wine and declare, I took you out of Mitzrayim. And don't forget, say it every morning and every evening in Shema. And you still might forget. So 7 days a year, get out of your house and sit in a booth and remember I took you out of Mitzrayim. And you still might forget. So 7 days a year, don't eat any chametz and remember I took you out of Mitzrayim. And eat matzah. Basically, the Ramban writes that we have endless and countless mitzvahs, maisyos, to remember all day long. You're not, now everybody loves to be mekayim this mitzvah that it doesn't say anywhere you should do it in Shulchan Aruch. Everyone loves to kiss the mezuzah. Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid, to walk out of a door and not kiss the mezuzah. Pal, where does it say you have to kiss the mezuzah? It says it somewhere? I'll tell you what it says. It says when you walk out of the door, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. When was the last time you did that? Do me a favor. Don't kiss the mezuzah and be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of thinking that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. If you do that, I'll let you kiss the mezuzah also. What are you kissing the mezuzah for? I have a question. You know, you come to the shul in the morning and you keep your talis and tefillin in front of you and you kiss them? You kiss matzah? You kiss the lulav and esrog? You have to do the mitzvah. What happened to the mitzvah? Stop the kissing. Do the mitzvah. The mezuzah is asking you to fulfill the commandment of the mezuzah, and that is to think about what it says there. Penalize yourself. You should knas yourself that you're not going to let yourself kiss the mezuzah unless you actually are mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, I'm done with that mezuzah routine. But the mitzvah is to think that the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim. But according to the Smak, part and parcel of the mitzvah of remembering Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is to be mitzape el Yeshua, which means that every time you put on tefillin, you're supposed to think, I'm putting on the tefillin to remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to redeem us. I'm making kiddush to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and Hashem's going to bring the geula. I walk out this door and I remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and that Hashem is going to bring the geula. Ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayoim. Being mitzapel lishua, it's not reserved only for the Esamach David. It's not reserved only for Kabbalah Shabbos. Literally, there are dozens of occasions throughout the day. From the moment you wake up, your tzitzis, your tefillin, your kriya shema, your mezuzah, your Shabbos, your sukkis, your Pesach. Every zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim is likewise synonymous with being mitzapel liyeshua. That's the third juncture. And here's the fourth juncture. The fourth juncture is right now. The fourth juncture are the events unfolding right before our very eyes. How do we understand what's happening in the world today? You know, in our very lifetime, we have witnessed a transition. You know, Chazal always talk about four golosim. And I'll speak about this very briefly. Throughout Sefer Bereishis, the number four is a very common theme. Soyhu, Vayu, Choshech, Pnei Sahayim. Ema, Gedoyla, Chashecha, Noifelas, Olav. Four rivers in Gan Eden. Did you know that every time the number 4 appears in Sefer Bereishis, the Medrash is sure to say it represents the 4 Golosim, which are Bavel, Madai, Paras, Yavan. Bavel, Madai, Paras and Madai, Yavan, Edom. Bavel, Madai and Paras, or Madai is the media. The media is the worst galus of all. Yavan and Edom. Every time you have the number 4, the Medrash always says the 4 galusim. And there's a famous question. One of the very powerful forces in the world did not seem to make the list. What happened to Yishmael? Why is Yishmael not on the list? Is Yishmael not a galus? Are they not vicious enough? They don't meet the bill? Why is Yishmael not one of the 4 galus? And by the way, it's very interesting. The Ibn Ezra writes that in fact the 4th galus is galus Yishmael. The Ibn Ezra learns, Bavel, Parasumadai, Yavan Roimi is 1, Yishmael is number 4. The Ramban says, can't be. The Medrash always says, Edom is number 4. Chazal never say Yishmael. Ibn Ezra, Kedarkoi, is not bound, Bederach HaPshat, by what Chazal say. But the Ramban says, you can't learn that that way. Therefore, the Ramban says, Yishmael is not one of the 4 Golosim. But why not? Why is Yishmael not one of the 4 Golosim? The Maral in many places asks this question. Why is Yishmael not one of the 4 Golosim? The Maral in his second answer, and that's the answer the Maral says is the definitive answer, the Maral says something astounding. The Maral says Yishmael is one of the 4 Golosim. Paras, Persia, and Yishmael are the same. So it's Bavel. Paras Umadai, that includes Yishmael. Yavan, Roimi. Okay. This teaching of the Maral literally opens up the heavens for us, and the events that are unfolding in front of our eyes become crystal clear in light of this teaching of the Maral. Because there are a number of Gemaras in Shas. Let's start with the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, in the end of days, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take out a Sefer Torah, and he's going to say, whoever learned this, come get your reward. Ah, so the United Nations is going to convene, and they're going to support Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, and they're going to say everything we did and all of our legislation was to support the Jewish people. We would like to get our reward. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, please, one at a time. So the Gemara says that first Roimi Edom will line up and Edom will say, we built marketplaces, we built bathhouses, everything we did was so that the Jewish people should be able to learn Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you fools, that's not what you did it for. And the Gemara says, Edom walks away dejected. After Edom comes Paras. And Paras says, we waged many wars, we built many bridges, and everything we did was so that the Jewish people should be able to learn Torah. And again, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're fools, that's not why you did it. And again, Paras walks away dejected. Ask the Gemara, why do we only mention Roimi and Paras? What about all the other nations? So the Gemara says, all the other nations will also come. So why do we single out Roimi and Paras? Says the Gemara, Aidi dechashivihem, because they're chashav. And the Gemara asks, what makes them chashav? Answers the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Demashchu Malchusayu Adbias Mashiach. There will only be 2 nations standing when Mashiach comes. Edom and Paras. Edom and Paras. Rome fell 2,000 years ago. The Gemara says Rome will last until Mashiach comes. I was in Rome on Thursday. Nothing doing over there. They have heads, statues. That's all that remains. They have statues, and you know everyone says the Arch of Titus. Titus was long dead when the Arch of Titus went up. There's nothing in Rome. Rome has crumbled 2,000 years ago. So what does the Gemara mean that Rome will last until Mashiach comes? So some say it means the United States of America, USA, you know, United States of America, they're leading in gold medals right now. So United States of America is still, they're the heir of ancient Roman society, Judeo-Christian values, the United States of America. I believe the Ben Ish Chai even writes that America is the continuum of Roimi. But Paras, the Persian Empire, will last until Mashiach comes. The Greeks destroyed the Persian Empire 1,800 years ago. There's no Persian Empire. You want a relic of the Persian Empire? You could go to the British Museum. You know what they found? A Persian was drinking coffee 1,800 years ago. They don't have the cup, but the handle of the cup that the Persian drank, they have a relic of that. They don't even have the actual handle. They have some craftsman made a piece of pottery that looks like the handle of the coffee cup that a Persian drank 1,800 years ago. That's what remains of the Persian Empire. So what does the Gemara mean that Persia will last until Mashiach comes? The answer is, according to the Maral, Paras refers to Yishmael, which means that until Mashiach comes in the end of days, there will only be two world powers, Roimi Edom and Yishmael. And that's what we see today. And the question is, who stands last? And sitting here in Brooklyn, you're thinking, I sure hope that Paras falls to Roimi. So just let me know when Roimi defeats Paras, and then Mashiach could come. And what's amazing is there's a Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara discusses that in the end of days, there'll be two nations standing. You could look it up, Yuma Daf Yud. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Rabbi, Asida Roimi Shatipo Biad Paras. Before Mashiach comes, Rome falls to Persia. USA falls to Yishma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asida Roimi Shatipo Biad Paras. Say, Rabbi, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I didn't come here to make anyone feel good. The Gemara then brings the opinion of Rav. Asida paras shetipol biad roimi. Say, I paskin like Rav. Tosfos paskins like Rav. I'll just tell you, most achroinim say, like Rebbe and Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Asida roimi shetipol biad paras. Including the Baal HaTurim at the very beginning of Chayisara, at the beginning of Toldos, where the Baal HaTurim writes, Chayisara ends with the fall of Yishmael, Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak, says the Baal HaTurim, Kishe Tipol Yishmael B'soif Hayamim, Oz Yitzmach Ben David, like the Shita of Yeshua Ben Levi and Rebbe, that Asida Roimi Shetipol B'Yad Paras. Reb Chaim Knievsky likewise writes definitively in his commentary to Chad Gadya that the final two characters of Chad Gadya are the Shoichid is Roimi and the Malach HaMoves is Yishmael. Yishmael stands last. You say, that doesn't sound good to me. So I want to present to you an interesting perspective on this and bring it back to the subject at hand. You know, I was just in Rome on Thursday, as I mentioned, and you have the Senate building, and you have all the relics of ancient Rome. And when you think about the Roman Empire and how it fell, you know, we have in our head some nation came and invaded Rome and destroyed Rome, and Rome fell. That never happened. Rome was never conquered. Rome was never attacked. What happened to Rome? You know, we have this science fiction perspective of what's going to happen at the end of days. You have Edom and you have Paras and there's going to be nuclear war and one will destroy the other. What happened to Rome? It was never attacked. It was never conquered. It came apart at the seams. Political disillusionment. The society just crumbled from within. The entire society just came apart at the seams. They realized they had no values. They didn't stand for anything. It wasn't built on any ideals, and the entire society just crumbled from within. What's happening in this country today? It was built on certain values of the Bible. It was built on certain values of religion. Does the United States of America still stand on those values? Does it still stand for those values? Or is it having the same type of identity crisis that Rome had before it crumbled? When the Gemara is talking about which nation will stand last, Roimi or Paras, which is Rome, Edom, or Yishmael, there are two ways of life in the end of days. And although on the other side we see terrible extremism, but they have a value system. They stand for something. It's not good, but they stand for something. The question is, in the end of days, which value system will stand last before the Melech HaMashiach comes and teaches the world Ein Oid Melvadoi and that Bereishis Bara Elokim? Be it as it may, when we live in a time of Golus Yishmael, the Baal HaTurim says, right around the corner is Ve'ela Toldois Yitzchak. Golus Yishmael, Reb Chaim Vital writes that after the four Golosim, there'll be one final Golos Kasha Mikulam. Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Sefer, Eitz Hadas Toiv on Tehillim. By the way, Reb Yaakov Hillel just republished the Sefer this week. Eitz Hadas Toiv. It's a Perush on Tehillim of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital says that after the four Golosim, there'll be a fifth Golos, and that is Golos Yishmael. And when we see Golos Yishmael rearing its ugly head, you know what that means for us? That we're being given a special opportunity to identify that the Geula is around the corner, and therefore it's a time for us to be Mitzapa Li Yeshua. So the four primary times. Number one, the bracha Semach David Avdecha Meheras Atzmiach. Number two, in Kabbalah Shabbos. Number three, every time you put on tefillin, every time you see a mezuzah, every time you make kiddush, every time you're mekayim any mitzvah, that Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, synonymous with that, is being Mitzapa Li Yeshua. And finally, the fourth important time to be Mitzapa Li Yeshua is right now, at the end of Golos Yishmael, because we know the Geula is around the corner. When we usually relayn Eicha, it's very similar to the Nigun of Simchas Torah. Eicha ha-yashvavadad, ba'avur David avdecha. There's only one slight difference. Eicha, the pasuk ends, chadesh yameinu kehekedem. But on Simchas Torah, it ends with a crescendo. It ends, ba'avur David avdecha, al toshev, p'nei mishichecha, ki mitzion teitzei soira, udvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. You know, the Ben Ishchai wrote a sefer on Eicha, where he says that la'asad lavai, the Megillah will be read in a way where the pasuk will have a positive meaning. For example, vayetzei mibas tzion kol hadara, literally, all the glory left tzion, says the Ben Ishchai, the day will come, all the Torah will emanate from Tzion. And when that great day comes, we're going to borrow a little tune from Simchas Torah. And we're going to end off the Megillah, and we're going to end off each Pasuk. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'noshuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. And then the tune of Eicha, with a little tweak, with a little twist, will be Neshapech, when the Tzoyim HaChamishi will become Lebeis Yehuda, L'Sasayin, U'L'Simcha, U'L'Mayadim Toivim. But in the meantime, in the merit of us being Mitzapa Yeshua, we should be Zoicha to be Asgoyel Tzedek, V'mher V'yaminu, Amen.
Shem Yirgin Shir Terem, Moses Boston, Mike Rubiga Shekoyach, Rabbi Glassley for the inspiring Drosha. The various forum from the Rav are available for sale on the tables near the door of the shul. great opportunity to pick up many of the popular Sfarim of Rabbi Gladstein. I'd like to give a big yashar koach to Mr. and Mrs. Alti Freilich for sponsoring tonight's shiur. We'd like to give a big yashar koach to Blazer Steinmetz of Weiss Spain for sponsoring tonight's shiur. We'd like to give a big yashar koach to Rabbi Chaim Kaufman for sponsoring tonight's shiur. Nishmas Ime Malka, Pastor Chaim Yehuda, La'ashol Mizasa tonight, base of Rabbi Sai, Irgun Shiur Torah's annual dinner is coming up in just a few short weeks. It's a great opportunity to show you HaKaras HaTov and HaVachedek and HaBosses Torah of Irgun Shiur Torah worldwide throughout the year by putting an ad in the journal or donating to Irgun Shiur Torah to help them continue the HaBosses Torah of Irgun Shiur Torah by calling 718-851-8651 or email ist@yeshivana.com for this great schus. Yashkech, everyone for coming. I'm Chananya ben Akasha. I'm Rotsak Rish Boruch Hu Lezake. Says the show, the figure here with Torah and Mitzvah, Shanem Ale Noi Chofes, Am Atzidko, Yagdol Torah V'yada.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.